book of Acts. We studied Acts in the past several times, and it is an interesting study when you look at the book of Acts. Okay, let's move this. Okay, my screen is frozen. That's not a good sign. Here we go. Okay, first of all, the prophets of old foretold of the last days when the Christ would come into the world, establish the Lord's kingdom, and reign as king. So when we read the Old Testament, we see that God's prophets foretold about Jesus coming, God's plan of salvation for humanity, for yours and mine. Though Christ came into the world as was prophesied, his kingdom had not been established at the point of his death, burial and resurrection, and ascension into heaven. So when we go through the first chapter, verses 6 and 7, we could see that the kingdom wasn't established then. And we're going to see, as we get into chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit descends upon the apostles, and they are given the gift of tongues that they can communicate to their audience, no matter what language they were accustomed to. They could hear the message, the gospel message, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ Jesus. The book of Acts fills in all the details regarding God's promise to establish his kingdom, and that is the church, and to forgive man of his sins. When we study the Old Testament, we see that the sacrifices that the children of Israel made to God wasn't enough to forgive their sins. God expected a pure sacrifice, and that was Jesus the Christ. And we have him as our Savior. Acts details instructions regarding what one must do to be added to the kingdom. So we have in the book of Acts God's kingdom, God's church. And there were men, the apostles, and also Paul, who was later, he identifies himself as an apostle out of season. They were communicating to the world the way one should be saved. And we, since they're gone, we have that responsibility today in our lives to share the gospel message with others. Old Testament prophecies, we see the scriptures and how they were fulfilled. I have a list of them here concerning Jesus the Christ. He would be rejected. And we see that in his life in the when we read the account in the Gospels, that his own brethren didn't even accept him. He would be meek and mild. The scriptures in the Old Testament identify that. And also we see Jesus the Christ as being meek and mild. He would be pierced. Zechariah prophesies about that, and we see what happened in John. We see in chapter 19 that he was pierced. Also, if you jump down, lots would be cast for his garments. The psalmist writes, and that's David in chapter 22, to cast lots. And also you look at Luke chapter 23:34, you can see they cast lots for his garments. Again, he would be a king out of the seed of David. And that was prophesied by Jeremiah. And we see that account in Matthew chapter 1, verse 6, Romans 1 and 3, and Acts chapter 2, verse 30. He is the Son of God. We see the prophets confirm that. We see that Solomon had stated he was the Son of God. And also we see that the gospel writers, Luke and Matthew, confirmed that. He would be born of a virgin. Isaiah prophesied that 700 years prior to his birth. And we see that was fulfilled in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 through 25, and Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 31. So, they prophesied about Jesus Christ way back in the Old Testament. And we as Christians have the privilege to go back to the Old Testament and see what those individuals wrote about Jesus. We are blessed as a people that we have the totality of the Bible that we could look to, we could meditate on, and also we could apply it to our lives. So our first question I'd like to share with the group is, how does one become a Christian? Very simple. Each and every one of us were baptized on Zoom also and in here. And we started a process. And that process was the beginning of our Christian walk of life. And each and every one of us in this room and on Zoom could share with others how we became a Christian. We have steps. Hear the word of God. Romans 10, verse 17. We have to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And he came down on this earth to die for our sins. We also have to turn away from our sins. We have to repent and get that sin out of our lives. There are some references for you that you can look up. We must confess our sins. We must recognize we are a sinful individual. And by confessing that we've done wrong, it's going to give us the opportunity to be baptized, to be put Christ on in our lives. So those are the five steps we heard. We understand. We studied them. But there's one more that you have to consider as a Christian. And that is live faithfully. Just because you went through the first five steps doesn't guarantee you the right for eternal life. It gives you the opportunity for eternal life. But also you have to put that in action in your life. You have to live faithfully. Peter shares that same sentiment in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. And we won't go through these verses, but they'll be on our website that you could go back and look up and study. So who was the author of Acts of the Apostles? Who penned this? Luke. Right. Luke is the author. And what do we know about Luke?
Wasn't he a doctor?
He was a doctor. What else we know about him?
He wrote another book.
He was not an apostle.
He was not an apostle. So he was a Greek, and he was the only Gentile Christian writer of the New Testament. He was an educated man. We know he was a physician. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 14, identifies his position as a physician. And he was not one of the 12 disciples. So when you look at Luke, and we look at the book of Luke, he had written that particular gospel. We also see that Acts is a sequel to that particular book. It follows the book of Luke. Luke never names himself as an author in the book of Acts. We don't see he calls himself, "I, Luke, wrote this book." Or like Paul, he says, "Paul, I'm an apostle of Jesus." He doesn't say anything about that. But we know, well, in 170 AD, and I got this off the internet, the Mercurian canon asserts that Luke, and I guess they, back in the day, they had so many different names for individuals due to the language thing of Greek and Latin, whatever, call him Luke, and is the author of the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts. They confirmed this. And also the early church fathers affirmed that Luke wrote the book of Acts. But we can investigate this ourselves by looking at when it was written. And you may want to take a stab at when it was written. What was that?
63 AD.
Very good. I got 62 to 63 AD. Thank you very much. And the book of Acts is an historical account written to meet the needs of the Gentiles as well as the Jews. We also see that this reflects Luke's association with Paul and becomes the basis of what is often thought to be a Pauline influence on the record. When we go through the book of Acts and later on in chapters 13 and so on, we see that Luke accompanied Paul on his missionary journeys. And he was associated with that group going out and preaching the message, the gospel message. And to whom was the book of Acts addressed? And when you look at this, you can see that Luke is responsible for writing. So who was the book of Acts addressed to? Anyone?
Theophilus.
Theophilus, right. Theophilus, which means lover of God. We see that Theo is God, and Philes is lover of. So you put that together, lover of God. And I'm not into meaning of names and stuff, but back in the day, they were very concerned about what their namesake meant. We see in Acts chapter 1, verse 1, the first account I composed, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach. Again, when you look at Luke, he wrote the book of Luke, and now he's addressing Theophilus again in Acts chapter 1, verse 1. And in chapter 1 and verse 3 of Luke, we see it seems fitting for me as well, having investigated everything carefully from the beginning, to write it out for you in consecutive order, most excellent Theophilus. Now this Theophilus, some people or some commentators think that he wasn't a real person, but he is, he was. He was addressed as most excellent Theophilus in Luke, which means that he probably had he was an official of some sort, and he probably supported Luke. We can't say by reading Luke and Acts, but yet you could surmise that. He wanted to hear more about the gospel. And that's something that people want to do today, hear more about the gospel. And that's where we come in. That's why we're going to be studying Acts, so that we could understand better the message. Now there's a bunch of parallels between Luke and the book of Acts. In Luke, it began an address to Theophilus. Same thing as Acts. He wrote to Theophilus. In Luke, we see the announcement made by Gabriel, the angel. We see the announcement in the book of Acts. Two angels came. Began in Jerusalem. When you read the book of Luke, that's where this began, out of Jerusalem. And where was the gospel first preached in Acts? Jerusalem. Began in Jerusalem. We see in Luke, he started off with the birth of Jesus as the Spirit came to Mary. And when you read Luke, you can look at that. That the Spirit came to Mary and said, you're going to be with child. And we see in Acts the birth of the church as the Spirit comes to believers. We also could go and look at Luke is the only gospel writer which refers to the trial of Jesus before Herod Antipas. And Acts comments about the trial of Jesus before Herod and provides stories of the later Herods concerning the gospel. The ministry of Jesus was here on earth. And we look at the book of Acts, we see that the ministry of Jesus came from heaven. We see that Jesus, when he was here on earth, was teaching. We see the teachings of Jesus when we read the gospel accounts. And in Acts, we see the teachings of the apostles. We are introduced to the gospel in Luke. And in Acts we see the progress made by the gospel, by individuals sharing the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ Jesus. We see Christ revealed historically in the gospel account of Luke. And in Acts, Christ is revealed by teaching. That's the message that the apostles first started to share the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus to Christ. In Luke, we see Christ is for us. In Acts, Christ is in us. What a blessing that is when you look at the book of Acts. It gives us Jesus in us. And as a Christian, do we see Jesus in us? How do others see Christ in us? Think about that. Because you as a Christian represent Jesus. And a lot of times when I put myself in a situation, no matter what it is, I ask myself, would Jesus do this? And when you reflect upon his life, Jesus' life here on earth, you come up with the answer. I mean, a lot of times that answer is, you better change what you're doing. We see that in Luke, it begins with the events surrounding the coming of Christ to earth. And we see in Acts, and we'll study this next week, it begins with the ascension of Jesus to heaven. We see disciples are chosen in the book of Luke. I mean, you could read other accounts, the other gospel writers share the same point. And in Acts, we see that deacons were chosen. We see that the church starts to get mature, where they have spiritual leaders. They have deacons who are helpers to the elders. We see Jesus is judged before the high priest in the book of Luke. Peter and Paul are both judged before the high priest. When you look at the parallels between the books, you can see how Luke, again, is the author. And Luke ends with the disciples in Jerusalem. When you read about Jesus' death, the apostles or the disciples were all gathered. They were in one place. And we see that Jesus appeared to them. And in Luke, in Acts, we see that it ends with the Apostle Paul in Rome. Pretty interesting parallels when you look at the book of Luke and Acts. So that's another indicator that Luke is the author. So how does the Gospel of Luke describe other appearances of Jesus after the resurrection? Here you have to go to the book of Luke, and we see that Luke 24, verse 36 through 39. Ron, can you read that for us, please?
Yes. While they were telling these things, he himself stood in their midst, and he said to them, "Peace be to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought that they were seeing a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do you doubt us? Why does doubt arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. You can see that it's myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have."
Thank you. So we see that when Jesus appeared to the apostles, they were astonished, they were amazed, but yet Jesus said, "Hey, look at my hands and feet. That's what they nailed me to the cross, and here's the holes." We also see in Luke chapter 24, verses 50 to 55, 3, and it reads, and he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they, after worshiping him, returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising God. Again, in the book of Acts, we see when the apostles, when Jesus was with the apostles, he ascended into heaven. So what was the purpose of writing Acts? Why do you think Luke penned this particular book?
Introduction to the gospel?
Exactly. We see the common purpose for both. The gospel of Luke and Acts of the Apostles is expressed in Luke chapter 1, verse 4, and Acts chapter 1, verse 5. And we read, so that you may know the exact truth about things which you have been taught. And we see in Acts chapter 1, verse 5, for John the Baptist baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. The exact truth that Jesus taught the apostles, that they shared with you and I. And they shared, and it's exciting to see the growth of the church back in the first century. We also see the establishment of the church. The church is not a physical structure. The church feared. The church was persecuted. The church was edified. And the church prayed. We don't experience persecution here, but in other parts of the world, they are persecuted for their faith, for their belief in God. And when we look at Acts, it encourages you and I to stand fast for the Lord. In Acts chapter 12, we see the church praying. Something we do as a group and also individually. And this church needs to be shepherded. Mature church should have spiritual individuals who will encourage, who will lead, and also share the gospel. Beginning of the church, we see in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, we see the importance of the church. Acts chapter 2, 16 and 17. We see the organization of the church. Church had apostles in the beginning, and they were serving as leaders. Now that we don't have apostles, we have elders, and also we have deacons who help them. In Acts, we see how the elders were appointed to local churches. And when we read the book of Timothy and Titus, we could see their qualifications. We see the unity of the church. Back in the first century, when you look at the people who were in Jerusalem, who obeyed the gospel, how they came together, how they shared their belongings, how they shared their food with each other. The door of the king of God's kingdom is open to all people of every nation. The gospel is for all people, not just Christians, but all. And it's up to Christians today to share that message. God shows no partiality. He doesn't show one group is better than the other. We are all Christians. We are all children of God. In Christ, Jew and Gentile come together as one. And we really have to focus on that in our lives. Because we all are separate. We all have different abilities. But yet, as Christians, we are all one. We united in Christ. And the churches grew and spread the gospel we see in the book of Acts. That's fascinating to see the growth of the church. It grew in numbers. It grew in spiritual strength. It grew in other areas. And that's our mission today, to grow. Not only in physical numbers, but in our spiritual well-being. We should be growing. And we'll be growing till we leave this earth. And it grew in other areas. They had missionaries going to different areas to proclaim the message. And who are the key characters in the book of Acts?
The apostles.
Disciples. Who stands out as one of the leading apostles?
Peter.
When we look at the first 12 chapters of Acts, it's mostly essentially centered around Peter's preaching. And we look at the latter part of the book, we see that Paul spread the gospel message to the world. And that's what we see in the first chapter, what Jesus wanted these individuals to do. Be his witnesses to everyone in Jerusalem and Judea and the othermost parts of the world. And that was done. And some of the events and issues found in the book of Acts, the important topics and events, one is the role of the Holy Spirit. We also see missionary outreach to new fields, to people who weren't in Jerusalem. We see many conversions that we're going to be looking at. And we see the growth of the church, how it started from nothing to where it blossomed in the first century. We also see the life in the Christian community, how Christians shared with their brothers and sisters in need. There were some significant problems back in the first century. They had conflicts between Jews and Gentiles. We also see that persecution of the church by some elements of Jewish community. We see trials before Jews and Romans. And that was experienced by Peter and also Paul as we get into our study. There were confrontations with Gentiles. They didn't want to hear the message. The children of Israel, they had the oracles of God. They had God's word in their hearts. But they rejected Jesus when he was here. So there was conflicts. And there were hardships in the ministry. Paul suffered when he went to teach in certain areas. In fact, the Holy Spirit stopped him from preaching in Asia. Maybe his life was in jeopardy. We don't know. The record doesn't share that with us. But we know that there were some hardships they endured. There were geographical advances. We see in first seven chapters, the gospel was preached in Jerusalem. It was shared with the people who were in Jerusalem, mostly the Israelites. We also see it went to Judea and Samaria. It was shared with those people. And when we looked at the last part of Acts, we see that it was to the ends of the earth, as they know. Now it's our job as Christians to follow up with that. Some of the key verses, and I put these down, that stand out to me. In Acts chapter 1, we see in 7 and 8, he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority." God works in his own time frame. And it's up to us to understand that and follow that. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth. Another verse that I kind of like, and I'm sure others have different verses that they focus on. This is found in the second chapter, verses 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as fire, distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. That's when the church started. That's important to know. We see another verse that I kind of like is in the fifth chapter, verses 41 through 42. So they were on their way from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they have been considered worthy to suffer shame for his name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they kept right on teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. And I'm sure yet when you go through the book of Acts, you could pick different things that will assist you to remember what the apostles went through. So how can Acts be encouraging to us? Well, Jesus promised to send the Holy Spirit. And we have that recorded in John. Jesus promised to let the apostles open the doors to the church. And Matthew writes that about that in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. We see that Jesus promised to give the apostles miraculous abilities. And that's amazing that individuals could perform miracles. And Jesus promised that opposition will come to them, as it does with us today. and Jesus' promise of the ultimate victory. And what is that? What is the ultimate victory Christians have? Absolutely, eternal life. So when you look at these particular verses, we can see that Jesus promised the apostles and also to us that we will share with these blessings. So when you look at the book of Acts, it's an historical account in the New Testament. We see that the Gospels, they taught about the teachings of Jesus, his death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And when we see the epistles, we see the instructions that Christians have on how to conduct their lives. How do you, as a Christian, conduct your life on this earth? So when you look at the book of Acts, it ties the Gospels to the epistles. The Gospels had shared with us Jesus' message. Acts is the historical account of the beginning of the church. We see in Matthew chapter 28 and verses 18 through 20, Jesus was talking to his disciples who were eventually going to be his apostles. It says, and Jesus came up and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of age. So in Acts, we see in chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, Jesus is talking to his disciples, who were his apostles, and said, he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth. So when you look at the book of Acts, we see that Jesus had given the commission to the apostles and had further gave them instruction to go out and be my witness to the death, to his death, to his burial, and also his resurrection. So it's a pretty important book in the New Testament. I have a slide that I'm going to share with you. This came from the Jackson Street Church of Christ. And if you could look at that, you could see every chapter of the book, how the Holy Spirit working in the church. And it gives you, first in chapter 1, heavenly ascension of Christ. Starts with an H. Chapter 2 is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and we'll study that in a couple of weeks. We see how the lame person was healed, H-O-L, and we see that they yield from public preaching command. So when you look at this, it may give you an idea how you can remember what's in those particular chapters. And again, that it will be on our website for you to have. Are there any questions or anybody want to add something? I know I did a lot of talking, but next week you guys are going to do most of the talking when we go through some of these questions. And I'll tell you, it's important that we share our knowledge so that we can grow, each and every one of us. And that's why we're here, to study, to understand what Acts is and to enrich our lives and encourage our Christian walk of life. Thank you very much for your time, and class is dismissed till we assemble at 10:30.